Thank you, Andrew, very much indeed. And do keep Luke chapter 9 open, as we'll be reading it together this morning. I wonder, we're all quite good at selective listening, aren't we? Choosing what we like to hear and what we don't like to hear. And many of us have come with children this morning, and I'm sure many of you can tell wonderful stories about your children choosing what they like to hear and choosing what they don't. You know, if you ask the children to come up to bed, they're very quick at not hearing you, from no matter how close or how far away you are. But if you announce from the far side of the garden and they're in their bedrooms that there might be some chocolate available, they'll come running and their ears are attuned immediately to what you've said. And it's true of children, but it's also true of adults. I remember I went sailing for the first time last summer, and the captain of the vessel, it was a cat catch. I'd never heard of anything such thing and had no idea what I was doing on this boat. But the captain brought me on board and showed me what to do and gave me clear instructions. And when you're doing something new and you're wobbling about on a boat, you're paying quite careful attention to what the captain is saying, because you're worried that you're going to wobble off or do something drastically wrong and sink everybody. So there are situations in life where we pay close attention, aren't there? And then there are other times when we're quite happy just to ignore and not listen at all. Well, I wonder, on the boats of your lives this morning, as you're sailing through life, who is the captain of your vessel? Who is the one whose voice you're listening to this morning? There are lots of voices around, aren't there? Both outside and in our own hearts, talking to us this morning. But who for you is the captain of your vessel? Who is the one whose voice you're paying most attention to today? Well, the story of the Transfiguration helps us to think about that in terms of what the Bible says. And as we read through, we see what it means for God himself to tell us who to listen to. Look down in verse 34 of the verses that Andrew read for us earlier. While Jesus was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. But then a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Listen to him. So this morning we're going to just very quickly look at two reasons why Jesus is worth listening to this morning, why we need to listen to him, and then ask, how do we listen more closely, more carefully to his words this morning? Why do we need to listen to Jesus, and then how can we listen a bit more carefully, a bit more closely today? So first of all, let's look at those reasons why God says to look to Jesus and to listen to him. Well, first of all, he says that he is his son. And if you were an observer on that mountain 2,000 years ago, if you were watching these four men struggle their way up the hill, you know, as you get up a steep hill, you can hear the panting and you can see the sweat coming on their brow and just the lungs bursting for air as they get to the top. If you were looking at those four men from the outside, you wouldn't have seen anything different about them. They would just be any guys wandering up on the moors, on the mountains of the world, heading up on that steep slope. Jesus was one of them. He was just exactly the same as you or me, struggling, panting up a mountain. Why should we listen to a man like that 2,000 years ago in a faraway country, a culture that's not our own, and just seems bonkers, doesn't it, sometimes, to think that we're listening to somebody who lived that far, far, far away, that long ago? What on earth could he have to say to us this morning in Plymouth, in the sunshine, in the busyness of our lives? And yet, as those four men get to the top of the mountain, what happens? Well, Jesus begins to pray. Do you see Jesus is praying? Verse 29. As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Now, we've all been doing a bit of praying this morning, but I didn't notice any of your faces shining like flashes of lightning. That would have been quite something, wouldn't it? If our faces just suddenly started shining out like that. It's not something that normally happens, much as prayer is a wonderful thing. It's not something that usually happens, that when we pray, our faces shine like that. So what's going on? What is happening here? Well, it's the beginning of the sign that God is saying, look at this one. He's something special. He's worth listening to. Jesus' face doesn't change. You know, he's not becoming an alien. He's not becoming Superman. He's not taking off his old costume and underneath, yay, look at me, I'm shining. Rather, we're getting a glimpse of what Jesus will be after his death, after his resurrection, when he is ascended in glory before his Father, the light of God shining in him, the sun. And that sign is an encouragement to pay attention to him, that he is an ordinary man, but he is more than just an ordinary man. He is the Son of God. And that's something that we need to be careful to pay attention to. Do you remember when Moses went up the mountain to get the law, the Ten Commandments, and he spent time talking with God? Well, his face began to shine with the light of God, so that when he came down, people said his face radiated, it shined. And in the same way, we begin to see Jesus as he truly is, in the light of God. Evelyn Underhill, who was a writer of the early 1900s, put it this way. She said, imagine that you've heard of a church which has amazing stained glass windows, they're really beautiful. And I don't know whether you like stained glass windows or not, but today you want to go and see them. And you go to that church, and you're wandering around the outside of that church, and you look from the outside, and the windows look the same. They're pretty drab. They're pretty grubby. They're quite thick. You can't see much through them. There's not much there. Why on earth would you travel miles to go and see these windows? And yet, when you open the door of the church and come into the church building and you see the light streaming through those windows, suddenly you see beauty. You see lights. You see color. Things that you would never have expected from the outside. And there's a radiance and a joy there that Evelyn says is beyond the fringe of speech. Something that we know in our hearts and our souls is just truly amazing, truly wonderful. And yet we can't quite put it into words. And that's a bit about light shining from Jesus' face. The radiance and the glory and the beauty of God transforms his face. And we begin to see what God's purposes are like in the world. So he's first of all the sun. He shows God in a way that nobody else does. The sun shows the Father, reveals the Father. Listen to him. But secondly, he is the chosen one, the one chosen by God. Do you notice what God says? He says, a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen, whom I have chosen. Because that light that shines in Jesus' face also reveals something else. Because that light, beautiful though it is, reveals in the lives and hearts in my own face that I am not beautiful, that I cannot live in the light of God. And the Bible talks about God's light, God's nature being like a consuming fire. If I was to come into that light presence, I would just have to hide myself away. I would be consumed by it. I would be unprotected and alone. It might be that you can think of somebody who is just really amazing at lots of stuff. And, you know, maybe it's on the sports field, they can do amazing things that you could never even dream of. Or maybe it's they raise their family in a way that you could only dream of. Or that they're just so intelligent, so wonderful that you find it difficult to have conversations with them. And when you meet people like that, and I often feel that way sometimes, you want to hide away a little bit, don't you? You don't want to be in their presence too much because they show you up and you don't kind of want to be with them. You find yourself kind of hating them in some small way. Well, as my children say, times that by infinity. And you have God, who is pure goodness, pure love. When I come into that presence, when I come into that light, I can't stand there. And Jesus is the chosen one, the one chosen by God, both to show that light, but also to enable us to be able to live in the light of that presence in a way that we couldn't otherwise do. Do you see who Jesus is talking to in these verses? Well, two men, verse 30, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus, and they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Two men, Elijah and Moses, folk from the Old Testament, from the life of the Jewish people, who had been instrumental in leading and guiding God's people for hundreds and thousands of years before Christ. And yet, neither of them, and none of the leaders of the Old Testament, could enable people to live in the light of God and survive. Moses had gone up the mountain, he'd seen the light of God, he'd gained, you know, the law and brought it down to the people. His face was shining, he's leading the people, and yet what do? They grumble and rebel against him, and they spend 40 years wandering around in the wilderness because they can't get into the promised land. Elijah, he's in a time of immense trial and difficulty for the people, and he calls down an amazing sacrifice of fire from heaven and leads the people in an amazing way. And yet he could not change the hearts of the people. Yet Jesus is the one chosen by God to lead the exodus, to lead that departure from this world of sin and slavery to powers that we cannot defeat ourselves. A world surrounded by death and decay and corruption. And there's something in his face, in the light of God saying, "You are my chosen one," which points us forward towards Jerusalem and the cross. That the glory of God, the shining light of God, revealed here at this moment in Jesus' life, is pushing him forward towards the cross, because he is chosen, he is a chosen one of God to do that. Something that we cannot do ourselves. Something that nobody before or after has been able to do. So why listen to Jesus? Because he is the Son. He reveals the beauty and the light of God in a way that we as human beings can understand and know. Why listen to God? Why listen to Jesus? Because he is the chosen one who has died for us and leads us with the promise of eternal life. So how should we listen to God a little bit better this morning? Well, there are a couple of clues, aren't there, with Peter and James and John as they're wandering their way up the mountain and they're spending this time together with him. So first of all, we read that they're pretty sleepy. They're pretty heavy with sleep, is the words in the Greek. And I don't know about you, but, you know, it can be quite a heavy, sleepy time on a Sunday morning. It can be a heavy, sleepy life that we lead. There's lots of pressures on our lives. There's lots of voices speaking to us from all sorts of places. And it can feel that our lives are heavy and sleepy, and we don't spend a great deal of time with God, listening to Jesus. What do we need? Well, we need to be encouraged, first of all, that we can look to Jesus, the one who does shine with the light of God. Do you see, as the disciples were sleepy, what happens? Verse 32, Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. There is the possibility of living lives in Jesus' light. That's the promise both here but throughout the New Testament. As we spend time with Jesus, so his light begins to shine in our lives. And our lives begin to reflect his light in a little way. There is that promise. Do spend time with Jesus, and his light will begin to shine in our lives. But sleep, we need something to kind of discomfort us a little bit, don't we? And just to make us a little bit less comfortable with the patterns and ways of life that we lead now. And I don't know about you, but passages like this just remind me again and again that I need to be setting aside just time to be with Jesus. Jesus wants to take us up onto the hills and away from the pressures and the voices of life, and just to spend time with him, slowly listening to him, not being called away by other things too much. And I know we're all busy. I know we've all got lots of pressures on in our life. But if Jesus is the one who is captain of my ship, I need to be making time to listen to him, to spend time with him. Sunday morning's a great opportunity for that. But that needs to be a regular thing through the week. And there are people that are very happy to make time to meet with you to do that. It's great to encourage one another in doing that. But just making time to listen and to be with Jesus during the week. So that's the first thing, that life can be a bit sleepy, we can be discomforted, but we need to know that Jesus does offer the light of life and that we can be with him. The second thing, as we see, Peter sees the light of Jesus and he's fascinated by it. He wants to spend more time with Jesus. So he says to Jesus, I know, let's build some tents so we can spend more time together up here on the mountain. And I can spend more time with you and it will just be wonderful, be amazing. And I just want to be with you as much as possible. And Jesus can be fascinating to that, like that in our lives. We can be just gripped by who he is, because he is the most amazing and beautiful and wonderful person. And yet, our listening can become quite sentimental, can become quite selective, just hearing the things that Jesus wants, that we want Jesus to say to us. Jesus becomes like an echo chamber, just repeating things back to us that we want to hear. Do you see what Peter wants to do? He wants to build tents. He wants to keep Jesus safe and with him. And actually, he's completely missed what Jesus and Elijah and Moses were talking about, which was that Jesus has to go to Jerusalem and die. Die for Peter. Die for you and me. Peter doesn't want to hear that. We hear that again and again in the Gospels, both in Luke but the other Gospels. He doesn't want to hear about Jesus dying. It doesn't kind of compute with his understanding of who God is and who Jesus should be. And in the same way, we need to be careful when we're listening to Jesus. We're not listening just to the things that we want to hear Jesus say to us. We need to be careful to be listening to all that Jesus says. Reading through his word carefully, giving it time to sink into our hearts. And I guess the challenge for me is, when was the last time that I heard Jesus say something to me that I didn't want to hear? Telling me not to do something that I wanted to do. Asking me to do something that I didn't want to do. Because if he truly is the Son of God, if he truly is the chosen one, I need to be careful to listen carefully to him, to hear the things that I don't want to hear, that he has to die for me, that I can't make it on my own, that my comfortable life in the end is rebellion against him and against God. So let me encourage you. Jesus is worth listening to. He is the Son, he's the chosen one. In him we see God like we see in no other. We see the light of God like we see in no other. He is the revelation of God in this world. Let's listen carefully to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you did give us Jesus so that we can know you, that we can see you in something of your glory and your love, the love that took Jesus to the cross for us. And we ask that as we listen to him, as we spend time with him this week, so you'll kindle in our hearts a love for him, a joy in his presence. I pray that you'll open your word to us, that he will speak through the words of these of the Bibles that we read. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will be changing our hearts, that we won't see Jesus just as someone who lived 2,000 years ago, that we'll be hearing him speak to us day by day, the captain of our lives, the Lord and author of our salvation, and the one in whom we can have faith and trust this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.